That second reading today from the letter of the Hebrews talks about my son and the discipline that a father gives to his son. And I just wanted to say that as a son who received quite a bit of discipline growing up as a kid, mostly justifiably, it also applies to daughters. It's not just sons. I love my family. I have two brothers and two sisters, and I'm the fourth out of the five. My older brother has always been the biggest and the strongest of the five of us, at least physically. Growing up, I think he took a lot of pride in being strong and athletic. I don't know if any of you feel that college sense of invincibility. He went through a divorce after about 10 years of marriage. And any of you who have experienced that knows it's hard on everyone. I remember going for a walk with him when it was all beginning and pushing him to talk about it. And my big, strong, older brother, he broke down in tears. And I'll never forget him saying, you know, he said, I always felt strong enough to do anything. But I'm not strong enough to save my marriage. It's one of the lowest points in his life. But with that admission, with that humility, it became a moment of grace. One of the greatest moments of grace for any of us is when we finally hit that brick wall. When we finally realize, I'm not strong enough for this. And at that point, what we do next is crucial. Do we turn to the Lord and to His church, or to human solutions, self-indulgence, distractions, illusions of self-control? In the Old Testament, the Israelites weren't charged to be the strongest or the richest nation. They were charged to be the most faithful to God, to proclaim His glory to the nations, so that the nations too would come to know Him. But they got wrapped up instead with power politics and economics. The major question in the book of Isaiah is, will the people declare the glory of God to the nations? Or will they be so seduced by the glory of the nations that they abandon their God? When the Israelites hit their brick walls again and again, where, for example, they felt threatened by other nations, rather than be faithful in the face of ridicule or even threats of invasion, they tried to placate the nations by worshiping their gods, by entering into political and economic treaties with them. But they never witnessed to them, let alone witnessing to the point of suffering or shedding their blood. When you hit your brick wall, and we all do, at some point or another, we all do, what do you do? Where do you turn? In the letter to the Hebrews, our second reading, we're reminded that witnessing to the Lord brings its own share of suffering. Hebrews states, at the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. Another word for discipline is the cross. And we're told that while the cross is painful, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Righteousness means being in right relationship, knowing that we're in right relationship with God and with others. When's the last time you heard the cross mentioned by any of our secular leaders? Their talk usually focuses on human strength and coercion. The cross, rather, is about love, sacrificing for the sake of love, doing the right thing for the sake of love, even if it involves suffering. In the gospel, Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but not be strong enough. My brother wasn't strong enough. The Israelites weren't strong enough. I'm not strong enough. Jesus is talking about entering the kingdom of heaven. Many try to enter the kingdom apart from the narrow gate, but none of them are strong enough. No one is strong enough to enter heaven by himself. The narrow gate is Jesus, and Jesus alone. If you are enmeshed in any worldly evils, and the world's a great place to get enmeshed in worldly evils, come and talk to me, or to Father Andrew, or any of our staff or missionaries. There's true power in the name of Jesus. And it will involve the cross, but he will bring peace and a life of true freedom with it. Before his second conversion, my brother could easily have said to Jesus, I ate and drank in your company. You taught in my street. In other words, I came every Sunday to receive your holy food. Listen to your teaching from my pew. But then I left and continued to rely on my own strength. Continued to turn to distractions and addictions. Continued to turn to human solutions rather than humble myself to embrace the narrow way of your cross, which is the only door. It's the only gate to freedom and abundant life. Where in your life do you still cling to control? Where do you say, I'll give Jesus this much, but not that? Where are the closets in your life that your baptism has not yet made wet? Jesus and his Holy Spirit is a flood waiting for you to let go, waiting for you to open the door, waiting for you to renounce any lies or illusions, waiting for you to forgive and be forgiven. Sometimes I get the most done when I make a holy hour, because at that moment, I'm just striving to the best of my ability just to turn it over to Jesus. Who's in charge of your life? Those who have been here before will know that on Sundays I give homework for the week. So the homework for the week is think seriously about where you still cling to control in your life and invite the Lord and his redeeming cross to enter in.